Well, we're going to spend a little time looking at prayer. You know what? Let's take this. We don't want to set it right next to that. We've learned that lesson. I want you to open to, you know what? Let's go to Ephesians 6 real quick. Because I want to revisit something that we looked at last week. Ephesians 6. If you remember, we read this section. When it comes to prayer, the world works and has worked very, very hard at educating the believer. I use that term real loosely. But in educating the believer as to the power of prayer, its priority, its place. Even among many Christians, you know, we see this when it's come down to, well, let's just pray, when really the opposite is true from God's perspective. See? And what we see in God's Word is we see record after record after record after record after record, examples of His people going to Him in prayer and His response to that. His encouragement to us to pray. The importance of prayer. He lays it out in His Word. It's really awesome. And I wanted to revisit this because I touched on this a little bit last week in Ephesians chapter 6. And when we read verse 18, and it is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There's a couple things I wanted to mention. One is this word always. It's really made up of three words. And basically its meaning is through every or all occasions or times. It's through everything. And that's that word always. Isn't that kind of neat? You know, it talks about in Philippians, and it says, being anxious for what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay. Nothing. The only question we ever have to ask ourselves regarding that is it a thing? Really? And God encourages us. He instructs us to come to Him and bear our hearts before Him. The importance of prayer is also demonstrated in the giving of Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Because the manifestation of the Spirit that was evidenced at that time was speaking in tongues or praying in the Spirit. It's really something. That's the place that praying in the Spirit or speaking in tongues held. Because this day was a big, big, big deal. Was it not? Absolutely. And that speaks very, very loudly, at least to my heart, to the place that prayer holds in God's eyes. See? And I think it does for us too. Let's go to Proverbs, and we're going to read a couple of verses, very familiar, and then we're going to go back to 2 Kings, where we spent a little time last week. Proverbs. When I read these verses, which are very familiar verses, I'm sure, to everybody and everybody here, I think in terms of prayer. That's what, you know, that's how I apply this in my life. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? He shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him. The simplest and most wonderful way that we acknowledge our Heavenly Father is in prayer and incorporating him into whatever we're doing. When I read this, I think in terms of not doing that, being wise in my own eyes. You know, it's like the older I get, the less I know. And I mean that. I wish, it doesn't matter what I wish. But what I do know is that God encourages us, instructs us to be involved. And the most simple way we involve him is in prayer. If I've made prayer a time, I'm missing it. I mean, that's great to take time to pray. But really, it's a lifestyle. It's what we do. See? In acknowledging him in how many of our ways?
All our ways.
I'm going to go back to 2 Kings chapter 20. We looked at this last week. You guys remember Hezekiah? And how he had laid, you know, that letter out before the Lord and went to God in prayer. And God's response and how he heard that prayer. Well, I had opened that with verse 1 of chapter 20. And I want to read a few verses here. Because what we looked at was in those days. And the days that it's speaking of are those days that we looked at last week when Assyria had come and they had been, the city had been besieged. There was, you know, by the census, there was no way. There was just no way Judah could handle it. But God delivered them. He answered their prayer. So those are the days. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set your house in order, for you're going to die and not live. Can you imagine? All this other stuff going on. And he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. You know, and I just, you know, when I read this, and this is a heavy thing, for Isaiah to come in and say, you need to set your house in order, you're going to die. But in his prayer, and in this weeping sore, there was a lot more going on. Just with Judah, with you know, the armies surrounding and so on. It was just a heavy, heavy time. Anyway. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard your prayer, I've seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee, and on the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. Isn't that something? You know, and then Isaiah had him boil some figs and put it on a boil. But there it was, Hezekiah bared his heart before God, and Isaiah hadn't even gone out yet. Boom. God told him, I've heard his prayer. And he came back in. You know, and Hezekiah gets 15 years added to his life. It's a great record if you want to spend some time with it. Really remarkable. But I want you to turn now to 1 Kings chapter 8, because this was something that I had mentioned last week, and I thought we'd read a few of these verses. This is the record of Solomon, and it is the dedication of the temple. David had wanted to build a temple, a house for God, but God said nope. But he gave David the revelation on what to build. It was then given to his son Solomon to have the temple built. And what we're reading now is at the dedication of this temple. Okay? And we're going to pick it up down in verse 28. And this is, Solomon had done a few things. It was, a number of days. But here, we're in the middle, or not in the middle, but near the beginning of his prayer. Verse 28, praying to God, yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today. That thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel when they shall pray toward this place. And hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. When thou hearest, forgive. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven and do. And judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel. You know, you see this kind of thing. Did this kind of thing ever happen? It's called the Book of Judges, right? Verse 35, when heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. And if there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, when prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. Isn't that something? Jump down, I'm going to read a couple more verses here. Jump down to verse 44. Hear thou in heaven, verse 43. Or verse 44, I'm sorry. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives into the land of the enemy far or near? Yet, if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou their prayer, their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place. Boy, if you've ever spent any time in the Old Testament, there's a lot of records that come to mind when we read through these things. In the next chapter, God, well, let's just read it real quick. Chapter 9, verse 3, and the Lord said unto him, unto Solomon, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Isn't that something? These are Old Testament records. And God honored this. And you see record after record after record where men turned to God. Men and women both turned to God. And God honored that prayer. I want you to go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Chapter 20. Second Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 1. And it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. This would have been roughly about 100 years after the record that we just read of Solomon's prayer and God's response to Solomon's prayer. Then there came some and told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. You know, I love this. He set himself to seek the Lord. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? You know, when I read these records, and I shared this with some of you before, I read the, and we're going to keep reading here, but when I read these records, it reminds me of learning about my earthly dad when he was young. It's not that God is young, but I'm reading about my Heavenly Father and how he worked and who he is. Isn't that awesome? And you just read it. I'm getting to know my Father. Verse 7, art thou not our God who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil comes upon us, as the sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Ha! 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 Isn't that something? He's standing on what God had revealed. He's basically standing on God's word here with this prayer. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. And O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. See, that's the heart. You know, that's the heart. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you, Father. I really don't know what to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, with their wives and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken, you all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but whose? God's. That's something. Boom! There's the answer from God himself. See, by way of this man. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. Oh no, not the cliff of Ziz. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And then it goes on, they rose early in the morning. Yeah, let's see. We probably ought to... Verse 22. Let's jump down to verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, he had set singers up. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah. And they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. See, Israel hadn't done a thing. Whose battle was this? It was God's, you know. But it's so awesome to see what Jehoshaphat did here. And I love that he prayed before the house and he reminded God, look, you said, you know, when we have need and we face this house, you said that you would help, that you would deliver. See, isn't that awesome? Well, with that in mind, oh boy, there's some other records I want to look at, but we're not going to have the time this morning. I want you to turn to 1 John, please. You know, keep your finger in 1 John. I do want to look at one thing, and it's in Acts. And then we'll go to 1 John. Book of Acts. Chapter 4. This is one of those records that, you know, you can just read it. You just read through it, and you're reading words, and it's kind of cool. But this is one of those records, if you stop and put yourself in their place, in their shoes, slow it down. Picture it. Picture what you're reading. I'll tell you, these were some remarkable, remarkable saints. You know, I was talking, or somebody was talking to me, this was a couple weeks back, and discussing some various things in the book of Acts. And one of the things that had come up in his thinking was along the lines of you know, seeing the kind of believing and the kind of power that you see manifested in some of these records, and the desire to see that again. And I mean, that's fine, that's great, but then the question came up, you know, why don't we see them? And I just, you know, I didn't have much of a response other than, well, right now we're just trying to get people back to Christ. But you read these records. You read these records and you see these men and women. You know, it's just amazing. And watch this in Acts chapter 4. And again, this is a record that's familiar to all of us. But I want to pick it up in 19. Very briefly, just let me set this. Peter and John had healed a man. He was lame. A lot of people saw it. A lot of people got blessed, speaking the word. The religious leaders didn't like it. They didn't like it at all. So they brought him before them, threatened him, and so on. Okay? And you got to understand, in this culture, they you know, by the census anyway, they wielded some power. They had some influence. This wasn't a light thing. But verse 18. And they called them, these religious leaders, and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you figure that one out. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So, verse 21, when they, these religious leaders, had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all glorified God for that which was done, for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, this is what's amazing here. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with what? One accord. They were all like-minded. This wasn't just a couple of saints here. Okay? I don't know how many were here, but it was a group of folks. And when Peter and John, when they got through discussing what had been said and the threats, their response wasn't, what should we do? They lifted up their voice with what? One accord. I mean, I just stop and I picture this and I think about this. This is amazing. You know? And the power that you see that results from this kind of heart, from this kind of relying on God. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, it should read master, thou art which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. It's referring to God. Verse 25, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said,
Why did the heathen rage, the Gentiles, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For a truth, against thy holy child or servant Jesus, thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants protection. Grant unto thy servants deliverance from these threats. Grant, what did they pray for?
Boldness.
Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may what? Speak thy word. What incredible heart. What amazing like-mindedness that made up this group that prayed together. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You know, this use of Holy Spirit here is information from God. This is remarkable. You know, they didn't have this like you and I have. It's really something. And what they prayed for was boldness to speak what? Thy word. They prayed, place was shaken, and it says they were filled. And that use of Holy Spirit is with information from God. And then they spoke what? His word. It's a remarkable record. Just remarkable record of the power of prayer, of the power of being like-minded in prayer. You know, the word talks about this in a number of places. It's amazing. It's fantastic. Now let's go to 1 John. 1 John, and I thought of this record when I was reading that record in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles that we looked at with Jehoshaphat. And when he said to God, he said, you said that when we were in need and we prayed to this house that you would hear and that you would deliver. That's what you said. Isn't that something? And God did it, didn't he? 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. It says, These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God actually is not in any text. So it would simply read, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what? He hears us. See, according to his will. That's according to his word. You know, whether it be the written word of God or whether it's something that God has given by way of the manifestations. But when we know his will, we know. We know. We go to God and we claim his word in prayer. God's encouraging us to do that. See, and that record I read in Chronicles, that's not the only record of God's word, you know, where men remind God or bring his word before God. See.
This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions or the requests that we desired of him. We have those requests. You can look at a number of different translations. Some of them are pretty cool. We have what one of them is. We have what we ask. See, because it's according to what? It's according to his will. See? Isn't that something? That relationship that God so encourages us to have with him is something to be taken seriously. And something really to put some time into, because there's just so much we don't know. We don't know. You know, we're so limited. But we got the Spirit of God, we got the Word of God, and we got a faithful Father who encourages us to come before him. See? And that's what we want to do. That's what we want to be, men and women of prayer. You know? And instead of, you know, the last thing, it's the first thing. It's how we approach everything. You wake up in the morning, you approach it with prayer. You're on your way to work, pray. You know, even if it's just, Father, thanks for a great drive. Boom. You know, whatever. But, boy, you build that lifestyle, that habit. And you know what else it does? It not only results in great blessings because God's faithful to his word, but it results in a wonderful awareness of God in your own heart. Boy, it's the only way to go. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right.